All right, turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
Last time we were together, we looked at the first four verses of chapter 3. We talked about how the church people, they were believers in Jesus Christ. They had the Spirit of God living within them, but they had not grown. They were babes in Christ. They were infants. They had not grown and matured as all of us physically we ought to do. And so therefore the lesson for us was spiritually we are to be people that are growing and not just satisfied with the milk of the word, these simple yet profound truths of the gospel of salvation, but as we grow, God is able to build into us understanding and a deeper knowledge of the things of God. And we talked about it's time that you grow. Well, we're going to see today how the Apostle Paul is now going to build on to that theme of growth, but he's going to look at it from a little bit of a different perspective. He's going to take a look at the ministers and how the church is to be viewing the ministers. Now, we're going to come across that term in our text today, and this word ministers is the word that's used for deacon in other places in the scriptures, diakonos. And so it has the idea of being a servant. And Paul calls himself and Apollos servants, ministers. And so how are we as the church to view the ministers of the gospel? And the Apostle Paul is going to kind of lay that out for us. And he's going to talk about the important role that the ministers play, but how it pales in comparison to God. As we approach this text, I want you to be asking yourself the question of, do I view the work of the church as the work of God, or as the work of a man or men? Do I view the successes that we see spiritually in our lives, whether it be people coming to Christ or people growing up in their faith, do I view them as the work of somebody or the work of God himself? What is our perspective? And indeed, many times we might say, well, it's always the work of God, but is that really our true perspective? And we're going to see that is what Paul addresses today. So let's look at our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's pick it up at verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Now, he that plants and he that waters are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. I'm going to stop there. Now, the church in Corinth, they would have received this letter from the Apostle Paul, and they would have been reading, and they would have read up to this point. They would have felt some pretty stinging rebukes, as he has called them carnal. He has called them flesh-directed Christians. People that, yes, you have the Spirit, and you have every capacity to understand the deep things of God, but you have not grown. You have chosen to be directed by your flesh. And he goes back to the main, one of their main symptoms of their heart, the problem, and that was, oh, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and they're disregarding the gospel of Christ. So his first question in verse 5 is then, well, who is Paul? And who is Apollos? Almost as if he's saying, why are you exalting these men? Who really are they? And he says, and he gives them a definition here, well, Paul and Apollos, they're ministers, diakonos, we're servants. We're servants by whom, or you could say through whom, you believed. Now, if I were to just stop there and not read the next phrase, it would be very easy for us to exalt men and to say, yes, preachers and ministers, they are great, and it's through them that I believed. But don't miss the next phrase. It says, even as the Lord gave to every man. And church, we have to never miss the handiwork of God, the work of God in our midst. You know, even if some man seeks to rise up and distract your attention, we must not look away from God and Him being the one who gives, who takes away. He is the one who has given each of us the opportunity to believe. It's His grace. Paul says, I'm just a minister. I'm a servant. And I'm a servant through whom God has brought you to belief. Is that your perspective of yourself? Are you a servant? Are you a servant of God? And are you a willing servant through whom God might use to bring others to faith in Christ? I have to tell you, this has been a very challenging passage for me as I've studied it, because the most direct application is to ministers, to preachers, to those that are leading in the church. And I believe as he is writing this, that he has in his mind the leaders of this church, because there had to have been some different leaders of these different factions that says, listen, let's go follow Paul, let's go follow Apollos. And they were leading in these flesh-directed ways, and people were following. And here he is addressing them head on. So who really is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who are Apollos? They're ministers or servants through whom you've believed, but as the Lord gave to every man. Okay, well, here he now brings in an illustration or a word picture using something that's very common to people and even to us today. We've got farmers in our midst. He's going to talk about planting. He's going to talk about a field. Indeed, he calls the church God's field, God's husbandry. You are God's field. And he says, I have planted, and Apollos has watered. So let's think about a field, a garden, which most of us probably have. Not many of us will have our fields, but we can get intimate with our gardens, can't we? We get our hands dirty, and here the picture is a planting. And as you plant the seed, or if you have a plant that's just small, you put it into the ground. How important is planting to the production and fruitfulness of your garden? It's absolutely imperative. It's very important. And you have the one that comes along and puts water on that, whether it be through an irrigation system or a hose or a watering can. You have someone that comes along and water. How important is water to the growth process of a plant? It's very, very key. And so in the minds of the Corinthian people, as their believer, the believers, as they're hearing this, I have planted, Apollos has watered. Yes, Paul, Apollos, you have played very, very important roles. And Paul, yes, I've planted. Yes, Apollos has watered. But he says in the next phrase, and I want us all to say this together out loud, at the end of verse 6, but God gave the increase. Let's say that again. But God gave the increase. Now, this phrase, God gave the increase, is fascinating to me, because what I did as I was studying this is I went and I did a little scientific research, if you will. I don't remember everything I learned in school about plants and growth and what do you call that, biology? I don't know if that's plants, but anyway. So I went and I learned about a little bit of how plants grow. And, you know, its cells will divide, and then you have two cell daughter cells, and then they divide, and it just keeps growing. And I think they call it mitosis or something like that. It's just fascinating to read about these things. And you think about a plant, you think about how, you know, I watched some time-lapse things on how a plant grows from a seed and it grows to a plant. And you watch this seed, and I watched a bean plant. You watch this bean seed, and it's just a brown thing in the ground. And as you watch this time-lapse, this green thing starts to peek up out of it, and then it starts to stand up straight. And in some instances, the bean thing, I don't know what you call it, the pod or whatever, starts even growing, goes right up with the plant. And the plant just pushes right up towards the light. And you, as you water it, you can see the plant gain new life. It's fascinating. What makes this plant grow? I mean, you'll have people make the point, well, you water it. That water makes it grow. Well, water, you need water for it to grow, right? Planting, it makes it grow. Well, that's true, it does, but, you know, plant, does that really make it grow? I got thinking about it. I mean, do they really have a scientific answer for that? Probably. You could probably correct me on this afterwards, but I can't understand it other than God just does it. God makes it happen. God makes this plant, this seed, turn into a green plant that will bear fruit. And it's a fascinating thing to think about. You sit there and you watch and you can't explain it other than you will plant, you water it, and it grows. Now, he uses that illustration because the Corinthian people, many of them probably were farmers, farmland all around the city. People know about growing things. You know about growing things. Next time you grow something, take time, yes, to plant it, and yes, to water it, but take time to praise God for making it grow. And then think about this. If we are to be growing Christians, if we are to be growing, and God has given us His Spirit within our lives, trust God and do things God's way, and you will grow. God gives the increase. The verb tense is in this verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered. These speak of him, Paul and Apollos doing something. They're aerists. There's something that they have done at one point in time. But the verb for God gave the increase speaks of God continually doing a work. And so we as men and women, as we are ministers and servants of God, yes, we have a role to play in evangelism and in work and sharing Christ and in ministry, but we just have a small part, and it is God who's continually in the background causing the growth to happen. It is God who's continually in the background of these plants as they're growing and causing these cells to divide, and yes, it is God that gives the increase. So then neither, verse 7, is he that planteth anything, neither he that waters is anything. But here's that phrase again, say it with me, but God that giveth the increase. Anytime something's repeated in the scriptures, pay attention to it. If he says two times to this church, but it's God that gives the increase, what do you think he's trying to tell them? Get your eyes off glorifying men and back on Christ, back on God, because it's really God doing the work. It's really God doing the work. God giving the increase. Now, verse 8, there's a slight transition here, because what he does is he's going to transition us from this garden, this field picture. He's going to take us to the construction site. He's going to take us to the site of a building going up. And with that picture in mind, he's then going to continue this thought of the ministers and how the church is to be viewing them. And so, in verse 8, now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, this idea of one is not necessarily that they're the same person, because we know Paul and Apollos were different people, but they were one in purpose. You could look at it this way. If God is the one that is really doing the increase, Paul and Apollos were just that very small part that where God chose to use human people to minister to people. Did God have to use humans to minister to humans? No, and sometimes he did use supernatural means. But in the context of the church, the way God has established it is he has established there to be leaders, to be pastors and shepherds who will teach and who will preach the truth to God's people. And that is their role. They are to be the ministers, the servants. And as they serve Christ, God does the increase. As the ministers, as they plant the truth in the lives of people, and another minister might come along and water that truth, give it the nutrition that it needs, but God takes it and applies it to the human heart so that person might grow in Christ. Let's just stop a little bit and think. Who is planted in your life? God's truth. Have you ever sat and thought about that? Who's been watering your plant? It's neat to think about, isn't it? To think about how God has used men and women in our lives to help us to grow. And that's the problem here in this church, is they weren't grown, they're still babies. Well, mainly because they had a wrong perspective on leadership. And they were missing the fact that it was God that provides the increase. He introduces the concept of reward here. In verse 8, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. We're one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, what is he speaking of here? He's speaking of those ministers and those servants. And they are ministering through God's grace. And they will receive a reward someday for their faithful labor and faithful work. You know, the Bible's not, so often we talk about what we do to serve God and give glory to God. And absolutely, that is very, very true. But something also very clear in the scriptures is that we will stand before God someday. And our works, we will be held accountable for them as Christians. We will stand before God. And the beautiful thing about that time of judgment before Jesus Christ is the fact that it's not a time of necessarily condemnation, because you're already his child and you're saved and you're his. But it is a time of reward. And what Paul is reminding us here is, yes, we are servants, and yes, we labor. And that word labor speaks of intense labor. We do labor. And it is God who gives the increase. It is God who gives the reward. We as ministers in Jesus Christ do not need to seek rewards from people. And the people, the church, does not need to seek to reward the ministers. Our reward is from God. And Paul is very clear about that. God will give the reward according to their own labor. And then verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. In other words, they don't have equal parts in the work. It's not as if Paul and Apollos did the equal amount of work as God did. No. It means that we work together with God to accomplish God's increase. A healthy garden, a healthy field, a healthy church of growing people. We are co-laborers with God. And you know, my prayer is that I will never forget that as I have been privileged to be a pastor and to be a preacher and to be a minister and a servant, I will never forget that it is God who gives the increase. And that really, I am very small and small in comparison to the things that God does. Does God use me and want to use the work that I can offer? Absolutely. There is a place for each of us in ministry. But it's just a small part. Important? Yes. But not near as influential as God Himself. We are laborers together with God. You are God's field. You are God's building. You're God's field, folks. We are God's field. His garden. Pretty picture, isn't it? How healthy is God's garden? How healthy are the plants? You know, we as a church, we need to bind together and we need to help one another to grow and to be healthy plants in God's garden. And from this text, it is very clear that there is a place for ministers and servants of God to play a role in the growth of God's people. And I take that responsibility very seriously. Not perfectly. We're not perfect. But praise God, it's Him that does the increase, even despite my own lack. So the perspective is this. We're God's garden. Paul plants, Apollos watered, but it's God that gave the increase. Today, we have people that have planted in our lives. We have people that are watering, and I trust that by God's grace, as you come to this church, you're experiencing the nourishment of God's truth, that your soul is being watered. And you realize that for me to live for my flesh and to be directed by those things, it's not getting me anywhere. I'm just a facade. But if you realize the Spirit is alive within you and allow yourself to put aside the things of the world and allow the Spirit to connect the Word into your heart, there will be tremendous growth. You know, I often, as I pray for us as a church, and I pray for growth, but you know, I don't necessarily pray for numerical growth. I pray for spiritual growth. Because listen, as you and I grow spiritually, our numbers will grow. That is the masterful plan of God. As He guides and directs the increase, He will increase you and I in our fruitfulness. And that is my prayer for us. That is my prayer. I'm going to save the remaining portion, this next illustration, for a next message, because I don't want to rush through this illustration of God's building. Because what we're going to encounter here, and I'll just give you a little snapshot, we've already read it, but we're going to understand the importance of the foundation of Jesus Christ. We're going to understand a little bit about judgment and about the works that we do and the value that they play in our lives and ministry. So with the remaining portion of our time together, I want us to take a little time to think within our hearts. Close your eyes, bow your heads. You know, we've talked about growth. We've talked about being a Christian that is growing in Christ. And this picture, I believe, is something that God wants to stick in our minds, this picture of a garden, of a field. And Apostle Paul certainly reminding us, you know, he planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. How effective are you allowing God to be in your life? And the reason I ask it that way is because you have a choice to make, whether you listen to the flesh or listen to the Spirit. I have a choice to make. When I have listened to the flesh, I have noticed my spirit is starving. Is that where you find yourself today? Is that where you find yourself today, church? Individual? You know, we've talked about this, about one who is mature and is one who is heeding the Spirit's influence in their lives, listening to God. And you're able to know the wisdom of God and the power of God. Does that describe your life? Let's think about this, church. We are servants and ministers of God. By God's grace, it is God who gives to us any growth and effectiveness. It comes from Him. Are you planting? Are you watering? I agree. The most direct application of this text is to ministers of the gospel and leaders in the church. But I believe indirectly it is very clear that we all have a role to play in evangelizing this world for Christ. And we could look at it this way. There's a planting. There's a watering. What are we planting? We are planting the seeds of the gospel, of Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Are you planting the seeds of the gospel in the lives of people? Are you watering? Are you reminding people of God's truth and of who He is? Are you coming alongside your fellow brother or sister in Christ and encouraging them with what God has been showing you? Testimonies are so key. Church, we are God's garden. We're His field. Lord, I just pray that You would impress upon us this vivid picture. And as You have done in my heart, filled me with wonder as to how things grow. And I realize, Lord, that even I grow because of Your work in my life. I thank You for convicting me of sin and showing me when I'm being flesh-driven. I consider, Lord, even yesterday, Lord, how You showed me that. And I just consider, Lord, how much more profitable it is to heed the Spirit. God, give us a zeal and a desire to grow. Increase the fruitfulness of this body. Lord, may we be a healthy, lush, and fruitful garden for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.